Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Reisman Show on Appleseed Radio. Appleseed Radio is brought to you by the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, which sponsors the Appleseed Project, which in turn sponsors Appleseed Radio. I'm glad everybody's listening this evening. We've got a lot of information to put out to you about what we have going on. We actually have a special program this evening because we're going to be broadcasting live from the Rifleman's Boot Camp in Davila, Texas. That's currently what's going on here at the Davila location. All right, as we start out every show with the upcoming events and locations, I want to do that again right now. For the, I'm just trying to get the screen to obey my commands. All right. For the February 28th and March 1st weekend, we have Yanceyville, North Carolina. February 28th and March 1st, we have Ramseur, North Carolina. February 28th and March 1st, we have Santa Barbara, California. February 28th and March 1st, we have Las Cruces, New Mexico. And also February 28th and March 1st, we have Davila, Texas. March 7th and 8th, we have a Canton, Missouri shoot. March 7th and 8th, we have a Corona, California. March 7th and 8th, Kingsport, Tennessee. March 7th and 8th, Peru, California. March 7th and 8th, Hinesville, Georgia. And March 7th and 8th, Monroe, Washington. Now, certainly, as the largest spread as I've given you, one of these locations is near to you. If it's not, and you still would like to attend an Appleseed, log on to appleseedinfo.org. Click on Schedule of Events, that'll pull down a menu, and then look on the Schedule of Events and see where there is a location near to you. If there is not one, then please contact us at appleseedinfo.org and let us know where you are and that you'd like to have an event, that you'd like to host an event near your location. And we will be glad to bring the Appleseed program to you. All right, as I told you before, we're having a Rifleman's Boot Camp here and in Ramseur, North Carolina, this week, And at the end of the boot camp, it will be the February 20th and March 1st Appleseed events. That's Ramsar, North Carolina, and Davila, Texas. Both will be February 20th and March 1st events. And now at the boot camps, it's an eight-day event where we teach the rifle marksmanship and safety to the attendees. And then also we instruct them in how to become instructors. And we give them a lot of information that they'll need as they're instructing Appleseed events, boot camps, in the future. And we're right in the middle of one of those right now. And I'm going to let you talk to some of the guys in just a minute and let them know what's going on, let them let you know what's going on, what we're doing here, and what is what happens at a Rifleman's Boot Camp, what happens during the week at a Rifleman's Boot Camp. All right, before we get started, I'm going to take a call. I've got the area code 217. You're on the air. Area code 217. Can you hear me? Hello? Area code 217. Can you hear me? All right. Well, we'll obviously there's some kind of a phone problem or something here, and we'll get that figured out, and we'll get them back to you on it. All right. During the Appleseed Rifleman boot camps, we start out. They run from Sunday to Sunday, and then the folks get here on Sunday, and they get together, and we have an introduction. Let everybody know, meet everybody else, and then those people, they'll give a brief description of who they are, how they heard about the program, what they would like to get out of the program, why they're here, and then we give them a brief description about what to expect from the Appleseed boot camp. We let them know what we expect out of the instructors, what we expect out of the attendees, what they're going to learn the week that they're here. And then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we have rifle marksmanship. And then we have on Thursday, we have a more of a classroom where we learn a lot about ballistics and natural point of aim, inches, minutes, and clicks, target detection, so on and so forth. Then on Friday, we have a mock Appleseed where we use the students who are attending. We'll split the group in half. Half of them will act like they're students and shooting the Appleseed, and the other half will be the instructors for the Appleseed. And this lets everybody know how the Appleseed that weekend is going to run, the Saturday and Sunday Appleseed is going to run. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we have the Appleseed event that's open to the public. And then the instructors, or the attendees of the Rifleman's Boot Camp, will actually instruct at the Appleseed event that weekend. Right now we have a lot of the guys are just ending up. Matter of fact, I just walked in too from the end of the day, getting things settled up. We had another three riflemen made today. A rifleman is a person that scores 210 or above on the Army qualification test that we use. We use the Army qualification test, the old AQT, in order to determine how the instruction is going. You'll have to have some type of tool to evaluate the instruction, and we use the Army qualification test. That's a 40-round course where you'll shoot 10 rounds standing in 2 minutes. You'll shoot 10 rounds from the seated position with a magazine change in 50 seconds. In the second stage, in the third stage, shoot 10 rounds from the prone, where you start standing and you go into the prone, and you'll have 60 seconds to fire that course. And then the fourth stage, you'll start in prone, and you will have 5 minutes to shoot 10 rounds. And these are at targets that are scaled down to represent 100, 200, 300, and 400 meter targets when they are posted at 25 meters. So when you're at the 25-meter line, you'll see targets that represent 100, 200, 300, and 400-meter targets. And we use the AQT, as I said, as a tool to determine how the instruction is being received and applied. And today, firing the AQT, we had another three riflemen made. We had Old Grunt yesterday, who scored a rifleman score. And just to show us he wasn't fooling around, he shot two more rifleman scores today. And then we had three more riflemen made today. I don't believe that they're registered on the form yet, so I don't know that they have names. I think we gave one of the guys a name of Jethro. And they all shot rifleman scores today. Most of the guys right now are cleaning up, and I told them they could bring their rifles up here and clean their rifles as we're doing the show, and then we would have them talk about the day's events and the things that they learned today. I'm going to give me 1 second to try and get some audio hooked up for them. We're back. We're just trying to get the audio hooked up because I can't. It'll be hard for me to hand the phone around to the guys at the same time that we're trying to talk to them. So we want to make sure that we got another phone going so that they could call in and tell you about what's going on today. We've got another caller calling in at the same time. I'm going to go ahead and put them on at the same time, so that they can talk. Area code 360.
Yeah?
You're on the air. Who's this?
Scout, this is Wheeler.
Hey, Wheeler.
I just called in to hear your show, and here you put me on here. What's up with that?
Well, you should know better than that. You did such a great job last week that, yeah, you'll get moved to the front of the line every time. Everybody, this is Wheeler 44, and he's calling to the show, and we also have Old Grunt on the line. Old Grunt is our man in Oklahoma. He drove down from Oklahoma to Davila, Texas, Central Texas, to attend the Rifleman's Boot Camp. He's been here since, I believe, since Saturday. And I've got him on the line also. He's going to discuss some of the goings-on that we've had so far. And, Will, you stay on the line, too. You can ask some questions and stuff. You've been to what boot camp did you attend, Wheeler?
I had the instructor boot camp here at Castle Rock, and
Castle Rock?
up in Castle Rock, Washington, at Wade's designated Appleseed Range, and I'm doing my best to make plans to attend the Rifleman's Boot Camp in Three Forks, Montana.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah, I went to a shoot there last fall, and I just a two-day shoot is not nearly enough time to spend out there.
No, no, not at all, because it's beautiful. The Montana, Wyoming, New Mexico, Arizona, I love the West, and all those locations, all the shoot locations we have out West are just fantastic. All right, I'm going to put Old Grunt on. Like I said, we just got through with a day. It was a pretty good long day today, and we had a nice, hard, strong wind from the south all day long, and I just plowed up the whole range area because I wanted to smooth out a lot of the humps and bumps and everything else on the shooting line, and we had no rain since I did it, so it was pretty much like laying down in the Sahara Desert under a 30-knot wind all day. So everyone got a lot of valuable information in how long they can lay in the dust, in the wind, with their rifles shooting before the action completely fills up with dirt. So, Old Grunt.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. And we're kind of giggling at each other because he's 4 feet from me. And, but we're still trying to make it sound professional nonetheless. Old Grunt is Chris. I'll call him Chris. Chris, we had a good day today. Tell us a little bit about how the day went.
Well, it started off like every other day. We get our three strikes, and every last one of us gets an opportunity to give it and listen to it and help critique the three strikes. And like any other Appleseed event, you start off with your first red coat. And that's what we started hammering away with first thing in the morning, was our first red coat. Had a lot of good fun early in the morning. Really did.
Now, when he's talking about the three strike story, what we do here is when you go to a rifleman boot camp is you have the rifle marksmanship instruction and safety, and you have instruction on ballistics and everything else. But then, if you're a part of the rifle of the Appleseed Project, you know, and if you're not, I'll tell you. That the Appleseed Project is much more than a rifle marksmanship organization. We are strongly dedicated to teaching Americans about their history, their heritage, and their culture, and why it's important to become a rifleman and a master of your rifle. So along with the rest of the instruction that we give them, we also tell them the three strikes of the match story, which covers the events of April 19th, 1775. It begins with the British leaving Boston and then marching to Lexington. The events that happened at Lexington on April 19th, 1775. And then from there, the next part of the story is from the march from Lexington to Concord, and then the events at Concord. And then the third strike of the match covers from the from when the British column left Concord and then traveled back to Boston along Battle Road. And what we do is we give the attendees several times a day, we'll give them the story, one of the three strikes of the match stories, and then we ask them to get up and tell the story just like they heard it. And what this does is two things. One, it gets them used to talking in front of a group of people, because everyone at the boot camp is going to do it. So there's no, you don't have to worry. Everybody's going to go through the same thing. Everybody's going to get a chance to tell the story. And they're telling it among friends, people who love the story, which basically all Americans love the story of the events of April 19, 1775. And then it helps them learn the story, so that eventually, as instructors, they will be able to tell the story of April 19th, 1775. And I think right now, pretty much all of the guys that are attending right now, every one of them has had a chance to get and tell it. We've had some pretty amazing stories, I tell you, in the history of develop at the boot camps. I believe in November we had a pretty amazing story done by a fellow named Respiratory Pop. He's got a nickname because of his particular way of telling the story of April 19th, 1775, and blending it in with the six steps to firing a shot, welding the two together, and making a pretty amazing story. So when Old Grunt is talking about telling the story, that's what he's talking about. Everybody got a chance to hear the story and tell the story. And so that every time that we're giving them the story over and over, that everybody gets a chance to tell it, but then they get multiple chances to hear the story and to learn the history, to learn about the heroes of April 19th, 1775. Well, I want to say congratulations, too, Chris, because you shot to rifle standards yesterday, and then you shot to rifle standards again today, which proves it wasn't just a fluke. It wasn't the wind blowing your rounds into the 5 and 10 rings. Obviously, you had some sort of skill mixed in with it to help you do it. Today is day three of the boot camp. What would you say is what sticks out in your mind is the most important thing that you've learned so far here?
Not to doubt myself and to rely on my instinct and the skills that I've learned, and to follow through with everything I do, and you just keep driving on, even when I think I'm doing the worst. Just keep on keeping on, you know.
Yeah, and that is, and you brought up a good point, because never doubting yourself is a big part of making the shot, of trusting in your ability. Once you've been given the instruction and taught how to apply the skills, then not doubting yourself or second-guessing yourself, but letting your body and your mind make the shot like you know you can make it is a big part of making the shot. A lot of times we'll do different drills to help emphasize this, drills where we make you shoot a relatively rapid pace, because when we make one of the attendees shoot at a rapid pace, then they don't have time to fuss the shot or second-guess themselves. They have to trust in the skills that they've been given and the techniques they've been given in order to make the shot. And lo and behold, they usually find out that those techniques and those skills work just like we told them that they would. And so that is a big eye-opener there. And it's a very valid point, trusting in yourself in order to make use of those skills and techniques, and in knowing. And I think that Wheeler, you and I were talking about this last week, about when people, when they have some kind of challenge, when they have something that they want to do, and I think we were talking about your son at first, when they do it, when they meet that challenge, then their life changes to a certain degree.
That's very true, and I've seen it in definitely more people than my son. I remember the first night of his second Appleseed, and he was almost real upset on the way home. There just isn't enough time, Dad. I think, a bunch of different stuff came up. And I said, son, I want you to do something for me, son. I want you to just shoot as many shots as you can on those two stages that are timed. I don't want you to look up. I don't want you to try and spot your shot. Just keep putting them down range, son, and see if that doesn't make a difference. And the switch turned, and it was amazing. He went from I can't do it. There's no way. It's all wrong. There's not enough time to... That was easy. And the first thing he did was turned over and turned to his cousin who was laying right next to him in the in our own version of the Sahara Desert and started giving him some pointers, things that might make it easier for him. Well, one of his cousins made riflemen that day, both of them. Two of them made riflemen, another one knocking on the door. And the things that he's gone on to do since then, you know, it was like he was a little boy when I took him, you know, he's 15, he ain't that little, but he's like a little boy when I took him to the Appleseed, and he's a young man now. It's just incredible the difference in their understanding that something as challenging as shooting a 210 or better on the AQT, I'm here to tell you, Chris, old grunt, that from now on, it's, you know, you'd be surprised if you don't shoot 10 points better than that every time you go out there. It's just, it's amazing. And the confidence builder and the realization that it wasn't all that special. You know, I mean, we're shooting to 4 minutes of angle here. It's the greatest thing. It's, you know, that's part of the reason why I'm as involved as I am out here in the West is because that you really are able to turn people on to something that they can achieve. You give them all the tools and all the technique they need to get there, and then stand back and watch, and the smile on their face, and then the dedicated attitude they bring when they come help the next shoot or help bring people to another shoot or something like that is just amazing. You know, they'll say, I can't go and talk to some stranger. I got people who've been to one shoot that are going to gun shows, and I told them, I said, look, I'm not going to be there. I can't. I got too many things to do. But you just... tell about your experience at Appleseed and what makes you want to go back. That's all I ask you to do. If you do that, you're doing a great job. And it's, you know, it's so honest from the people those attendees, you know. Some of them made riflemen, some of them didn't, but they all took something away that they're willing to share with people, and that brings more people to the line.
That's right. I don't think I have ever seen an attendee come and not make a dramatic improvement in their rifle marksmanship skills. And as you say, they don't have to make riflemen. Making riflemen is a great milestone. It's a great achievement. But you don't have to make a rifleman score to prove to yourself that you can become the master of your rifle and by extension of your life. Whenever someone is challenged, they have set a goal of themselves of going to an event and shooting to rifleman score, and they do so, I would say, almost 99% of the time. I think that causes a dramatic change in people's lives. I'm sure that there are exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, when somebody shoots to rifleman standards, they've set a goal for themselves, and they've achieved that goal. And it's no small accomplishment. Whenever you shoot to rifleman standards, you're shooting better than 99.9% of all American firearms owners. And that's quite a goal. And once you've achieved that goal, then it's much easier for you to believe that there are other goals that are within your reach and that there are other things that you can accomplish maybe with some difficulty, because achieving a rifleman's patch is quite difficult. It takes a lot of work. But once you've done that, I think that shows to a lot of people that the sky's the limit, because every time, at the end of every Appleseed event, it never fails. I will get people that come up to me, and they will ask me, especially the people who have made riflemen, they'll say, all right, what's next? I'm ready. You know, I've got my game on now. What's next? Where do I go from here? And the first thing we try to do, of course, is to ask them to become Appleseed instructors and to pass on that knowledge and the skills and techniques that they've learned. Because, as you know, there are 6 steps to firing a shot. I'll go ahead and go through them now because, number one, I love going through them. But we're on a roll from the from the Rifleman Boot Camp here. You have sight alignment, sight picture, respiratory pause, focusing your eye on the front sight, focusing your mind on keeping the front sight on the target. You have trigger squeeze. Then you have follow through and calling the shot. Those are the six steps to making the shot. Now, what they usually don't tell you until you get to an event is there's a seventh step. And the seventh step is passing on that knowledge, passing on those skills to other people. And that's actually the most important part of being a rifleman, the most important part of achieving rifleman status is passing on those skills and techniques to others. I'm going to ask Chris to come back on. He said here he's got his phone turned around so the rest of the guys here at the boot camp can hear the show, because if I turn on my volume, then we'll start getting feedback, and there's a little bit of a delay, so you'll start getting feedback. So it's hard for them to hear without listening to the phone. But I'm going to ask him to come back on and give us a quick rundown on what is happening or what's getting ready to happen in Oklahoma. Once he gets through with the boot camp and he heads back to Oklahoma, what we have going so far. I'll let him tell you about the shoots that we have immediately scheduled. Go ahead, Chris.
I basically want to start off with what actually happens in the state of Oklahoma on a weekly basis. I'm from the Tulsa area, and a lot of times what I'll do is I have a range that's called Red Castle Gun Club. It's one of the better clubs in the state of Oklahoma. And on Saturday mornings, I usually spend 3 or 4 hours going over AQTs, history, and things with individuals that's never heard anything about it. But from there, I've been traveling all over the state of Oklahoma on, you know, different weekends that I can get away from the house. And I've been in Oklahoma City H&H Gun Range. I've been out in western Oklahoma. I've been as far north as Kansas. I've been as far south as Lawton. And in the Lawton area, there's one place that we in the state of Oklahoma consider it, you know, a mecca for high-powered and long-range shooting. It's called Badlands Tactical Facility. It's run by a sheriff. We just call him Bob. I can't really remember his whole last name. Bobby Whittington would be his name. And on March 14th and 15th, on that weekend, we're planning on going ahead and setting up a complete full-blown Appleseed shoot. It's free to both kids, children, and active-duty military. And we'll have bunkhouses for people to stay in. There'll be a lot of things going on that weekend. And then when it comes to April 19th, I had been promoting the Kansas shoot, which is up in Wichita, and a lot of the folks that I've been dealing with in the last 4 or 5 months, they didn't really know anything about Badlands at the time because, you know, it takes 60 days to get one on the events list, and we actually expedited and got both these events posted. So a majority of my folks are going up into the Wichita area for the April 18th and 19th shoot, which it should be an outstanding event. It's a brand new range. Dad's running the event, and he's another one of our instructors in the Appleseed organization. He's an outstanding individual. But there's still plenty of places to get on the line April 19th in Badlands. We're running it in March. We're going to run it in April, but in my opinion, you know, April 19th, that's the day every American that has a firearm should be on the line and should be shooting. And more than likely after this boot camp, I know there's going to be a lot of guys coming up from Dallas that I've made friends with already. And there's a lot of you in the state of Oklahoma that's either met me, seen me on the web and doing what I do, that I hope you all do drive down and experience the event. But other than that, I'm going to keep pushing for different areas around the state of Oklahoma, preferably around Oklahoma City. We've got a few ranges that we're trying to get certified. We have not yet really got it in concrete yet, and there's areas throughout western Oklahoma, but the one that comes to mind right now is Enid, Oklahoma, which is about another 100 miles north of Oklahoma City. They have a gun range that's brand new. They just got done breaking the ground and getting all the buildings put up. And I've been touching base with a lot of those people, and they're getting pretty fired up about the events. So hopefully when I get back and more time to lick my wounds and heal, get back over to Oklahoma and by getting things started up there, Scott.
Now, he's talking about licking his wounds and stuff like he's been in here. Now, I'm telling you that Chris is a good man. He's a good man. I haven't seen him drink a cup of coffee yet, but But he has the energy of a man who's downed a whole pot. One pot in the morning and one pot in the afternoon. He's a really good guy. He's a combat veteran, United States Army. And we're really happy that he's come down to the boot camp and that he's going to become an instructor and really push the Oklahoma events, because Oklahoma is a great state. They've got a lot of folks interested in the Appleseed program and interested in making sure that Americans' liberties are safeguarded, our rights are safeguarded. And he's just the man, I think, who can help get them pointed in the right direction. We got another caller coming on now, area code 410. Who's this?
He was worth $20 million.
Hello, area code 410. You're on the line.
The 22 most of the body, one to the head.
Can you hear me? All right. Wheeler.
Yeah.
You're on the line.
Yep.
Okay. I want to tell everybody that we've just had something pretty amazing happened. Out of the darkness came an individual in a white linen shirt, a tri-cornered hat. It looks like he has some bifocals on. He's got something of a scruffy beard, and he looks pretty much like a colonial subject, and I believe he goes by the handle of Respiratory Pop. Hey, Pop, welcome to the show.
Welcome. It's nice to be here, Scout. I'd just like to say that I have really enjoyed the program. It's great to be involved with folks who really love the United States of America. We have arranged to start for the April 19th weekend and the weekend after Mother's Day and for Father's Day, Appleseed Shoots in Corpus Christi, Texas.
That's right. Pop got us shoots. He got the location lined up in Corpus Christi. He got an April 19th event there, and he is going to bring in the south and east of Texas, bring them running headlong into the program. Let everybody know the location in Corpus Christi, Pop.
It'll be at Billy Starry's shooting range on Yorktown Road by Oso Bay. And Billy's looking forward to this. And he's got usually the third weekend of the month open for Appleseed. We're looking for a great time, a good turnout, and a lot of people out there learning how to shoot and what America is all about, a little American history. So y'all come.
Yeah, this event is already listed on the Appleseed website. So if you're looking to come to Badlands Tactical event in Oklahoma, or the Appleseed event in Corpus Christi, go to appleseedinfo.org, click on Schedule Events, pull that menu down, and then find those locations or dates for you. And then there'll be two clickable links there that you can click on. One will be information. That'll tell you the location, any special rules or anything about the location, any notes that you need to know about, how to get in touch with the folks at the event. And the other one is to register. And this is important, because what we'd like you to do is make sure that if you have an event that you want to go to, pre-register for it. That does two things. Number one, it helps us to make sure that we have enough supplies and instructors on hand to take care of that event. And number two, it helps make sure that you've got a slot at the location and the event you want to go to. A lot of these shoots are filling up pretty quick, and they're not all open-ended. Some are. Some of the events we can hold up to 100 people at. We've got another location opening up now in Milliken, which is right outside College Station. It's a beautiful range that Steve Struve just put in. Got 140 running 140 meters the line on the 25-meter line. And then he's got 100, 200, 300, 400-meter berm set up, and actually has a 1,000-meter berm also set up. And it's all brand new, ready to go, absolutely beautiful location. But they're not all open-ended events. We can't hold 100 folks at all the shoots. So if you want to make sure that you're going to be to have a slot at one of these events, you need to go to appleseedinfo.org, click on Schedule of Events, that pull that menu down, go to the location that you would like to attend for any of the upcoming events this year, but especially for April 19th, and click on Information, find the information. That'll give you all, any of the information you need to know about the event, the location, et cetera, and then click on Register. That'll take you to the Eventbrite registration site. It's a third-party program that handles our event information, the event registration, online registration, and then get registered for the event. You want to get registered for the event, that means your slot's locked down for you, and Rifle Woman will send you an information packet to let you know how to get prepared for the event. So anyone wishing to attend an event, please do pre-register to make sure that you get a slot. We have had a couple of locations now that are already filled up for April 19th, and we want to make sure that everybody who would like to come gets a chance. And if you pre-register and it looks like an event, like a location is filling up, I'm telling you, we're pretty determined that you find a place to shoot on April 19th. So if you guys pre-register and we find out the location is filling up, we're going to do everything within our power to make sure that you get a chance to shoot. If that means going down there with some RWVA engineers and chopping down some trees and putting up some more berm, then by gosh, that might be what we'll do, because we want to make sure that you have a place that you can shoot at. So be sure and pre-register for any of the events that you would like to attend. I'm going to try the 401 area caller again and see if they're... see if they're on the line. Area code 410, you're on the air. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know I was on the air when I dialed in. I was just listening. I was, well, I do have a question then. What would be the best, I'm in Maryland, and what do you recommend on shooting with? I got open sights, old M1, your AR-15, you know, and your 22 semi-automatic and bolt action. What do you recommend for, like, the program?
Okay, I'll tell you exactly what we'd like for you to do. Now, the Appleseed program, what we'd like to do is teach you how to shoot with your iron sights, because every rifle, almost, has iron sights. And so we would like to teach you how to become skilled at using your iron sights. You can use iron sights to hit a target out to 500 meters and beyond. But we'll teach you how to shoot with your iron sights accurately to 4 minutes of angle to 500 meters. Now, that being said, if you want to use a scope, we're not against scopes. You can bring a scope, and we'll teach you how to shoot using your scope. And we would actually advise you to bring both rifles. You can bring as many rifles as you want, but we would advise you to bring a rimfire rifle, a 22 caliber rifle, and a centerfire rifle. And the reason we do this is for two reasons. One is the ammunition is very expensive nowadays, and we shoot a great deal at an Appleseed event. We'll shoot between 300 and 500 rounds in a weekend. And if you're shooting all centerfire ammunition, that gets to be expensive very quickly. So what we usually ask folks to do is bring a rimfire rifle and shoot on Saturday with a rimfire rifle. Well, on Saturdays, we'll be shooting to 25 meters, 82 feet, and the reason we do that is so we can get a rapid feedback from the targets. You know, you can shoot at 25 meters. You can get down there to the target, take a look at it, and then get back to your rifle and begin shooting again quite rapidly. And even, I'll tell you this right off the bat, maybe I didn't even believe it at first, but if you shoot 4 minutes of angle at 25 meters, you're going to shoot 4 minutes of angle at 500 meters. So the techniques and the skill that we give you to shoot 4 minutes of angle at 25 meters with your rimfire rifle transfers directly to your centerfire rifle, and that transfers directly to 500 meter shooting. So whenever you come to an event, go ahead and bring your 22, the rimfire rifle, and bring your centerfire rifle. Then on Saturday, we'll work all day teaching you the techniques, giving you the skill to shoot to 4 minutes of angle, and then on Sunday morning, we'll do the same thing. You can come to the event shooting your rimfire in the morning, and then switch over to your centerfire rifle, and we can get that sighted in. And then on Sunday afternoon, we'll go to the actual distance range, and you can shoot your centerfire rifle at actual distance and get the data you need for there to be able to shoot your centerfire rifle at 100, 200, 300, and 400 meter ranges.
Okay.
That give you the information you're looking for?
Yes, sir.
All right. And you said you were in, where are you?
I'm in Maryland. Might as well say Baltimore. Do you have any events?
Right now. I'm gonna hook you up with a location right now. Let me see. March. Let's see. I've got Almonds. Pennsylvania. Hold on. I got one of our good guys here is on the in the Northeast, and I know we've got. Here we go.
I am going to expand surgery, but based on your suggestion.
No, I've got. What about Harvard, Massachusetts? How close are you?
Oh, quite a ways away. I'd be closer, probably to the. I notice you have a lot in North Carolina. I'd probably be closer there or Virginia Beach. I've seen some Virginia Beach shoots,
hold on,
too.
Hold on, one second. What's the... Did you say, what about Almonds, Pennsylvania?
I'm not too familiar where that's at. I'm not familiar at all, really.
I'll tell you what you can do. Go to appleseedinfo.org. To the homepage there, and click on Contact Us. Shoot us an email, and we will find you a location close to you that we'll be glad to bring the program to, or that we already have one set up in. I'm still looking to see what we have that's close to you. But if you'll shoot us an email, then we will. We'll contact you and let you know what the closest one we have to you and the date of it is.
Okay. And through the computer, is that the only way to take and get the targets?
No, you know, you can go to are you familiar with Shotgun News?
Yes, I've got the new one in front of me that has, you know, your number in it. I don't have a computer, and I'm glad you've got this program going here because I'm finally getting to talk to someone.
Oh, well, great. Well, if you're looking at it, then you see that Fred's M14 Stocks, he sells the targets. If you want to get some of the AQT targets, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you'll contact Fred at Fred's M14 Stocks, you can order the AQT packages from him, and he'll send you the AQT targets, and I believe that he'll also send you like a copy of Fred's Guide to Becoming a Rifleman and a couple of other things too. And it's a very minimal charge because Fred is more interested in you getting the targets and you learning the techniques and skills required to become a rifleman than he is about making a buck.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you very much. Then I'll just sit here and continue listening. How's that?
Okay, that sounds great. And listen, if you have any trouble getting the targets or anything, you shoot an email to appleseedinfo.org. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. You don't have a computer.
No, sir. I guess I'm going to have to learn Dan Library.
I'll tell you what I will do. Is you sit here and you listen by phone. At least give me enough time. One of you guys have been. Give me enough time to write down your telephone number here, because I've got it on the radio station caller ID thing here. I'm gonna write down your telephone number, and then I'm gonna call you and get your address, and I'm gonna send you some AQT targets myself. How's that sound?
Oh, that would be great, sir.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about, you can still order some from Fred, but while you are waiting for those to arrive, or waiting for the order to go through and stuff, I'm going to put some in the mail to you.
Yes, sir, that would be great.
Okay, and that's you with area code 410.
Yes.
All right, then I'm going to just mute you so that you continue to listen to the show. Thanks for calling in, and I will give you a call... in the next couple of days, I'll give you a call. We're right in the middle of the Rifleman's Boot Camp, but I'll give you a call in the next couple of days, and we will get you set up with some AQT targets and a location that you can go to shoot during this year, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was easy enough. We got this guy... I'm really glad that Fred put the radio station information in Shotgun News, because he's got an ad right across the page from the Fred's in 14 Stocks ad that he donates to the Appleseed program. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now, the Shotgun News ads are not cheap, and that's part of what he is donating to the Appleseed program to make sure that it works, to make sure that Americans can get involved and can actually take part in their lives. Sometimes I get really frustrated, and I get really hot. I'll get a red patch in my hiney because I'm very disturbed. I'm very upset about the latest, most destructive disease in America, which is apathy and laziness. Apathetic Americans are going to be the death of the country if something isn't done, because they're going to sit there and they're going to allow their rights to be taken from them one at a time until they end up with no rights whatsoever. It's a job at the Apathy Program to make sure that we do everything we can to wake up these sleeping Americans, to slap the apathy off them if we have to, and get them involved in their own lives, get them involved in taking care of safeguarding their own liberties. So that is the goal of the program. Oh, we've got another caller, area code 508. You're on the air.
There.
Okay,
Ross.
There you are. Now you're on the air.
Hello? Yeah.
508-479, are you in the air?
Yeah, that would be me.
Okay. All right, who's this?
This is Ross, Dwarven1 on the forum, the Northeast Regional Coordinator.
Hey, Dwarven, how you doing?
Pretty good.
This is Scout.
The one's not silent, Scout. Dwarven1.
What's that?
It's Dwarven1. The one isn't silent.
Yeah, no, I said, hey, Dwarven, how you doing? This is Scout. I'm Scout.
Right. Never mind. I'll put it in. Anyway, I was listening to your last caller and just kind of sitting here in front of the computer looking for sites. So far, the closest I can find is Almonds, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're looking at it, and Almonds seem to be the closest. I've got Dave right across the table from me. And that was his suggestion too, was that Almonds was going to be the closest one we had right now to that caller.
I've looked back and forth through the schedule of events, and I can't see one any closer. So I guess that that gives you another job, right, Dwayne?
Well, I don't range down that far, but believe me, I've been trying to get a range in New Jersey, which is about as far south as I have responsibility for. I was going to say it's about three. It looks, according to Google, looks like it's about 3.5 hours from Baltimore to Almonds, and I know up a couple weeks ago up here in New England, we had a shoot in the snow, I might add, and we had a father and son drive up from New York, and they told me it was about it was just about 3 hours or so.
Yeah, and I remember talking, well, I think I talked to you, I guess, 2 weeks ago or maybe 3 weeks ago about
like
the shoot, because we were talking about that, about you guys, about other folks saying, oh, my gosh, we've got to have some warm locations for these apple seeds because it's cold everywhere. I got Mark Alonzo's here with me. He's laughing, too, because he gave a talk about that today. He doesn't like the cold. So even in Texas, what you guys would consider summer weather here, which is like 50 degrees with a 30-knot wind. But,
my God, 50 degrees to be out there in a T-shirt.
Yeah, T-shirt. He says that's T-shirt weather for him, Mark. Anyway, we were talking about that, and you said, well, hey, this is the weather we live in. You know, we're used to this, so there's no reason we can't get down in the snow and shoot. And so y'all did, and tell us how it went.
It actually went wonderfully. We got out to the range. It was about 9 degrees that morning. That's Fahrenheit, not centigrade. But it was supposed to get warmer. It was supposed to go up to about 30 or so, and I think it did over the course of the day. We had about 1.5 feet of snow on the range, and one of our instructors, Dennis, Mr. Twig, actually went out there the day before, and he kind of stomped down the firing line. There was about a 2-inch crust of ice on the snow. So he broke that through, and we warned everybody. Almost everybody brought tarps and to put under their shooting mats. So it was a little difficult because it was very slippery getting through the snow, and he kind of had to. It took a little longer to get downrange to change targets. Cause we're,
I was going to say, if you got 1.5 feet of snow and you stomp it down so you can lay in it, now that means you're already in a depression, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we actually had people having to break down the snow in front of where they were shooting.
Walk a line all the way down to the target. So I guess that helps, though, to keep from shooting other targets. If you're shooting a little snow trench and you can't see the other targets, that would cut down on cross-firing some.
Nah, we still had a couple of people cross-firing. We had one guy who was fairly annoyed about his target, too, because he was starting to group really nicely, and somebody else shot his target.
Oh, man. Yeah, we've had that happen before, and some people, they do get really annoyed because if you are shooting if you're on your way to shooting a rifleman score, and you get a really good score, and somebody decides to help you out on your target, then we have to take off every shot above what's allowed for that target. We have to take off the highest score. So a lot of people do get a little bit hot under the collar because they could be making the rifleman score without their buddy helping them. Now, I know in some cases it has helped people, so I guess that's the other side of the story.
Yeah, well, you know, it was my first event as a shoot boss, and I didn't think to bring any pink ribbon to put on the targets. But that's I think that. Although Nichols got a good suggestion, if somebody starts drifting off and shooting other people's targets, staple their target on upside down.
Yeah, that will help because, like at what you were saying, I remember, it was a couple of years ago at Ramster. Right when we had a lot of new shooters starting, and we tried the pink ribbon, but here was the problem with that. We had several people cross-shooting together, so pretty soon we had four targets with pink ribbon around them right next to each other. So now we're back at stage one because all the targets were circled with pink ribbon, so how do you know which one you're supposed to be shooting at? So
that could be a problem. Well, anyway, I just wanted to, I did want to mention a father and son who drove 3 hours to get up to an apple seed. And, I'm active on a board called northeastshooters.com. And there's a guy there. He's in southeastern Massachusetts. It's about, at most, an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes from Harvard. And he keeps asking, when are we going to have a shoot in southeastern Massachusetts? And I pointed out to him that we had folks driving 3 hours to get to the apple shoot. I haven't heard back from him yet. I also asked him if he would help find me a range down there, since he belongs to a couple of ranges down there. And again, I still haven't heard back on that either. And I see somebody on the board, somebody on the website here saying he's got to drive 5 hours to his shoots. My hat's off to you, sir.
Yeah. Well, here at the boot camp, we've got guys from Oklahoma, Amarillo. Some of the guys have driven 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours to get here. And that's certainly not the farthest. We've had guys from Washington State drive to Central Texas for the boot camps, from Chicago, Georgia, you name it. They've come halfway across the country to go to a boot camp. I drove to Ramsar, North Carolina to go to a boot camp. So driving a long ways, it's an adventure, but we would like to cut the adventure down to like one adventure per year for the folks and get the apple seeds planted locally for everyone. So while I got you on the line, you being the coordinator there, give me a rundown of the upcoming events.
Okay. Let's see. For the Northeast, bringing up the schedule here, because I don't have it memorized. Let's see. We had Athol, Massachusetts already on... Let's see, April 18th, we should be having shoots in Bennington, Vermont. That's Hale Mountain Fish and Game. Very nice little range. It's 22 only. Been there once before. We have Harvard, Massachusetts. That's literally in the backyard of Concord and Lexington. Anybody who is here for Patriots Day weekend absolutely should be taking the time to, drive over, take a look at the old North Bridge. It's going to be a zoo in Lexington on the Sunday morning, because there should be a reenactment at about 6 a.m. We have a new event on the schedule, Holderness, New Hampshire. I believe that's New Hampshire's first shoot, and we're pretty excited about that. Our new coordinator up there, John, otherwise known as Firewall 99, is doing a hell of a job. Heck of a job. I don't know if I can say that on
this video. I think you just did.
Oops. It's Middlebury, Vermont. That's up towards the middle part of the state. And I believe that's actually a farmer's field who's letting us use it. Got a nice berm there for it. We have Throop, New York, which is where you're going to find me. It's about, I think, about a half hour or so west of Syracuse, New York. That's out sort of the Finger Lakes region.
It's a great range, too. And I'll tell you how I know is because I got the range there because in the summer I always take my family to New York, where my wife's relatives are. And I was looking for a place to shoot while I was up there, and I found this wonderful little range out in the middle of nowhere, and nobody was using it. As a matter of fact, when you came up to the range, you just stuffed some money in a box and signed in, and I didn't see anybody there for a couple of years until, even though the guy who owns the range lives right there 100 yards from the range. And then when I got involved with the Alpseed program, I thought, hey, I'm here every year anyway, so let's have some events here. And I'm telling you, the truth is, it's really pretty range. You'll really enjoy yourself there. It's a very beautiful range. So what else you got?
Well, let's see. Going out to May, we've got Proctor, Vermont on May 16th and 17th. I believe that's the Ethan Allen firing range, and if I'm not mistaken, that goes out to 600 yards. One of these days, they're going to schedule a shoot that I can actually make because I'll be traveling back from vacation that weekend. So one of these days, I'll get up there. Roger keeps doing that to me. Then at New York, May 23rd, 24th. Let's see, going out to June. I see Bennington, Vermont again on the schedule, and Bremen, New York. I know that we are going to try and get another one. We're working on trying to get another shoot at Harvard for June sometime. We don't have a definite on that. July, I'm working on trying to get a new range out in the western part of Massachusetts up and running. I understand they just actually cut a couple more 25-meter ranges in there. So initially I went out there and I was a little disappointed because the rifle range was 54 feet wide.
Wow.
And at that it was staggered because you had a 50-yard bunker and a 100-yard bunker and then 200 yards. And I'm kind of looking at it and I'm thinking, well, a 200-yard bunker is pretty tall, so I think we can go all the way across it. But I just talked with one of the gentlemen who works out there, who's out there at that range. And he said he just opened up a bunch of new ranges, so I'm hoping that we're going to be able to come out there. I don't want to mention it yet because I don't want to announce it out and have somebody out at the club go, say, what? We're going to do a what? Before we have that all set up yet. So.
Now, let me ask you a question about Jericho. I don't see Jericho anywhere.
I don't see Jericho.
July.
Misread that.
I'm looking on the schedule. I don't see Jericho listed, and
I think that was Proctor. I'm sorry. That's Proctor, Vermont, and Proctor is definitely not a 600-yard range. I don't see Jericho up there either.
Because I was at Jericho this last summer, and I want to tell you that Jericho is a military base, and but the range is absolutely beautiful out to 600 meters, and they've got a pit, and everything is great there. Plus, like I said, number one is beautiful, and number two, it's the only range I know that you can shoot the AQT while being surrounded by the wonderful noise of 50 calibers and M203 automatic grenade launchers and everything else under the sun at the same time that you're firing the apple seed. Plus the rain was just absolutely beautiful there.
Well, actually, if you come to Harvard, the machine gun pit is about 75 yards from the range we'll be using. So if some of the NFA crowd are out there, you'll be hearing machine gun fire in the background.
All right, let me put on another person with us. We've got the area code 717.
Hey, Scout, this is Mooney. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Mooney?
Yep.
Hey, how are you doing, Mooney?
Yeah, I was just hanging out here waiting for you to put me on so I could talk about the event in the New Jersey area.
All right, we'll jump to it. I'm going to leave you on the air, Dwarven, but we're going to give Mooney a chance to give his report. No, go ahead, Mooney.
Okay, great. Well, I heard that fellow talking from Maryland, and we can pretty much let the folks know that I'm hard at work here. We've got five ranges in the south central and northeastern and southeastern portion of Pennsylvania. making arrangements to try and set up some apple seeds for this year. So if you keep an eye on the schedule, you should see one pop up up near Scranton. We also have one that's more than likely going to pop up in Delaware County, which is just on the west side of Philadelphia. And then we have two ranges that are about ready to send me an application in the south central PA, in York County and in Cumberland County. So we've got four more apple seeds that will be a lot closer than almonds. And for the folks that are in New Jersey, southern New York, and Maryland
too, right?
Yeah, we're real close to Maryland, real close to Delaware. So
All right.
I'm much more lenient with the shooting in Pennsylvania, so I suspect a lot of Maryland and Delaware folks will probably come up our way. So.
All right, well, what I'll do is I'll talk to this guy, the guy that the caller that was on earlier, who was from Maryland, and once I get his information stuff, what I'll do is I'll shoot it to you so that when you get a range opened up, you can send him a personal invite to it.
Yeah, I'm real close to wherever he's probably at, so more than likely. So and that'd be great. So, but we have those shoots. We have the shoots in almonds, and we have the new shoot in Beaver Valley out near Pittsburgh. So we should be good. We should be good to go for Pennsylvania here for April 18th and 19th, and then the Beaver Valley one near Pittsburgh is in July on July 24th, 25th.
Okay. All right. Anything else that's happening right there in your area?
Not right now. We have some involvement from I guess it's a summer camp, and we're looking to see getting that set up and talking with a fellow from the John Birch Society who puts on a youth summer camp, and they're looking to get get us up there to do a shooting event for them. So that may be happening as well this summer. But other than that, hitting the street, trying to get the word out.
All right. Well, tell everybody about the almonds event location for the April 18th and 19th weekend.
Okay. Well, the almonds location, the range itself is obviously, I'm not sure who on the call has actually been there, but the location is, and the range is wonderful. It's a pretty well established range. Has a lot of different long range rifle shooting events there already, so it's comfortable and it's very nice. We have camping there. We should be. It's pretty close to Altoona, Pennsylvania. So that would be probably your closest main city, Altoona or Tyrone. It's beautiful country, but it is out in the middle of nowhere, so be prepared.
Okay. And then Dwarven, the same thing. If you'll give us, let us know the location for the April 18th and 19th event.
Okay, I thought I went out that over with that again. Let's see, April 18th and 19th, we have Throop, New York. I'll actually be out there, and that is about a half hour west of Syracuse, New York. We have Middlebury, Vermont, that's about 45 minutes south of Burlington, Vermont. And we have a shoot at Bennington, which is in the southwest corner of Vermont, and I don't know how to describe it any better than that. Harvard, Massachusetts. The Harvard Gun Club is located right near the intersection of I-495 and Route 2. It's about roughly an hour, call it west-northwest of Boston, roughly. No camping allowed there, but I know there are plenty of hotels around because it's right on the outer ring road around the Boston area, and a lot of technology, so a lot of hotels there. And Holderness, let me see, Holderness, New Hampshire. Let me look that one up real quick because I have not been up there. I believe that's up on the Pemmy River, probably about an hour or so north of Manchester. I think that's fairly well centered.
Okay.
Give me a second here.
Okay. While you're looking at that, I'm going to also invite the next caller, area code 580. You on the air? You there? 580-278? Okay. That's actually one of the guys from the boot camp here. We're going to keep giving the state coordinators and regional coordinators time to push their events, and then what we're going to do is also we've got some more guys here. I want to give every one of the guys that are here a chance to come on and talk about the boot camp that's going on right now too. As soon as you get the location information, just go ahead and pop back on.
Yeah, Holderness is basically straight north from Manchester and Concord, New Hampshire. It actually looks fairly centralized. It's right off of I-93, which is pretty much main north south, the main north south road going through New Hampshire.
Okay.
So there you have it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to ask. I know that Dinky is listening, and I was going to tell her to call in because I believe she is at the Ramser boot camp location. So we could actually have her call in, and we could have a little bit of cross boot camp talk here going on.
Figure out.
Mooney, do you have anything else that you wanted to jump in with?
No, good for now. I just wanted to do some. I wanted to make sure the folks that are in Maryland were aware that there is going to be some apple seeds coming up. So
if you want to stay on, you can stay on. I'll leave you on. I'll leave the mic on, and
sure.
You can stay on. So let me tell. Let's see, area code 361. You're on the air. Area code 361-779. Can you hear me? Oh, that's respiratory pop? Okay. Well, you stay on because I want the boot camp guys to start giving some of their experiences. Hand it to Mark. Mark's starting to fall asleep. Mark Alonso is one of the instructors who came down to the boot camp to help instruct. And he's a great guy. He's a shoot boss. He'll be shoot bossing one of the April 19th events coming up. Mark, jump on in.
Well, first I want to thank.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I want to thank you for the job you're doing out here, what you're doing for Appleseed. First met you a little over a year ago. You're keeping this program going strong in Texas. And
hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, good job. God bless you for that. And this Appleseed or this boot camp's going great. We've hammered out a few new riflemen. We're having a good time out here. And as far as being an instructor out here, it's always a good experience. No matter how many of these things you keep going to, you keep learning new stuff. You learn things from the students. And overall, just a really great time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pass the phone over to one of our newest riflemen here, Kurt.
Give a quick say hello.
Just want to say hi. I'm sitting here cleaning my gun, or rifle, I mean. And real excited about being a rifleman and real surprised about it, too. And thanks a lot. I don't know what my score was. I don't think we want to know, right? But really having a good time out here, and I love it.
Well, that sounds sweet. That was great. I was just talking to Fred. Fred beeped in on the other line while I was talking, and he's going to. I told him to call into the show. I don't know if he's going to call in. They're right in the middle of the Ramser Rifleman's Boot Camp there now. But he's going to tune in to listen. But right now we have Dave.
What's your forum name, Dave?
Flyboy. He's another part of the Oklahoma. Oh. He and Old Grunt are going to take Oklahoma by storm. I'm telling you, this time next year you will not recognize Oklahoma. All you will see is the states... not the motto. Well, we could even work on that, too. But I think that the state flower will be changed to the appleseed blossom. The state animal will be something to do with an apple or the apple seed or something, because these two guys are really great guys. They're full of energy. They're going to become great instructors, and I'm running out of stuff to say about it. I'm trying to butter them up to give them some good energy to go running into the program with when they get out of here. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Oklahoma by storm. Now, with the weather we have up there, we really the Appleseed shoot in Grandfield at Badlands Tactical last March, was it?
Yes.
Program. My buddy says gives me a call and says he went to the one just before that up in Northeast Oklahoma and said, I got to go. So I figure, okay, you know, any trigger time is good time. Pack up, we go down there. Really cool facility. If anybody in the Oklahoma or North Texas area, you've got to see Badlands Tactical. But we go down there, I had a great time, and on the spot said, okay, I've got to do this. When's the next one? And I'm looking around, and I've been looking around for 6 months, 8 months now. There is one in Oklahoma. And we just, what, 2-3 weeks ago got confirmed at Badlands. So I'm down here in Davila, Texas, 6.5 hours from home, just so I can come down here and shoot. And I'm down here, in fact, working with people at my office to see if we can find some land to put one in central Oklahoma. I haven't had any luck yet, but if anybody has land in central Oklahoma, we'd love to set up a range. But, you know, I've got enough people at my office, just at my office, to set up a full shoot. So we're going to do some great things in Oklahoma.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, listen, you guys, because this is only an audio program, you're really missing out on a lot of it, because if you had video, and then if we had some kind of a smell-o-vision, then you would really get the full impact of the Rifleman's Boot Camp here. Now, don't get me wrong; these guys are all maintaining their some degree of personal hygiene. They have a wonderful shower facility here. We've got a 300-gallon we got a 300-gallon tank on a tower with a wood-burning stove under it. And if the guys pay attention to it during the day and keep the fire burning, then at night they can get under the stove and take a nice shower. Now, if they don't pay attention to the wood-burning stove, then it's usually a very short shower but very refreshing.
If you're going to go to a boot camp, you're better off to show up as early as you can, because it has two mobile Taj Mahals in there. Once you get here, you grab it. If not,
we've actually had some campers donated to the FC program here, and they have they're great. They're great campers. They're I'll tell you what, they're certainly better than laying on the ground with the bugs and stuff. So yeah. Chris got here early, and he got the one-man Taj Mahal, and I didn't see if Mark Alonso followed my invitation or not last night, but I saw him inside his tent as I was getting ready to leave for the evening after dark, and the wind was blowing. His tent was kind of angled to the west, and I stopped and I said, "Hey, Mark, you're welcome to go inside the trailer." And he goes, "Oh, thanks." So I don't know if that meant yes, he was going, or if he couldn't get out of his tent because of the wind, because it was too cold for him to get out of his covers. But I was surprised getting here early. Did everybody make it pop? Jump back on the phone and tell us about Dylan. Pop's son Dylan went through the apple seed here. He went through the boot camp here. Dylan's up in Washington now. He's helping Wade at the designated Appleseed Range in Washington State. But I wanted him to give everybody a quick rundown on what Dylan's up to right now, if he could.
Well, fine, Scout. Dylan is quite a remarkable young man. He has started out in Austin. He called me one night last April. He says, Dad, I want to go to a Appleseed shoot. And so I looked it up on the web, and I said, well, Dylan, you know, that sounded like a pretty good idea when I was up there. And if, you know, we don't like it or something, we can always come back. No big deal. Well, we stayed the whole weekend, had a wonderful time. And Dylan brought his father-in-law back in June. And then I came back in August and watched him shoot, where he scored Rifleman with 233. Really proud of him. He and I both came back and at the boot camp in November. And we're both now instructors or instructors in training. And right after the November boot camp, he moves to Bellingham, Washington, where he is really active in Appleseed up there, getting shoots going and working with Wade and Leader 44 and all those guys, and Strap. He sent me a few photos of what they're doing. It's just remarkable. He's having a great time and getting folks into the program. So I did want to mention, too, Scout, that I haven't heard us talk at all about the ladies and the youth of our country this evening. At our November boot camp, we had at least one couple from Katy, Texas, and at most of our weekend shoots, we have several ladies and a number of youth attend. And in January, for example, we had at least two young people, one of whom was 8, and he just did a remarkable job shooting. He had one of these little Ruger 22 Crickets bolt actions, and by the end of the day Saturday, he wanted his mother's Ruger 1022 semi-auto. He said he's ready.
Oh, yeah. Well, we always have families. Matter of fact, this is actually the first boot camp we've had that they didn't have women in the boot camp with us. Normally, we've had boot camps. We have had women and children boot camps. The first boot camp I had here was back in, I believe it was in October, maybe, of 2007. And it was actually two families that came over from Louisiana. It was a father who brought his two sons, and then a man and wife who brought their son and daughter. And I think that out of that group, all but two of them shot the Rifleman standards. And that was mainly because that the two youngest, and actually there was another father and son there also. The two youngest boys were simply too young to be able to shoot to their full abilities because they had the 22 rifles that they were using. I believe the boy was either 7 or 8, and then the other one I think was 10. And it was a bit hard for them to handle the rifles they were shooting. But other than that, everybody else shot to Rifleman standards, and they always have had a great time. Now, at the next boot camp, we had a young woman from the Soviet Union, Russia now, and she didn't shoot to Rifleman score, to Rifleman standards, her shooting abilities, her skills improved so much that on one of the last AQTs she shot, she could see that she had shot well. She had finished the course of fire in the approved time. She got all the rounds off, and I believe that she could see that she had made a good score. And without even waiting for the ceasefire, right in the middle of everybody else still shooting, she took off running down the range to the target. Now, luckily, we got her before she ran forward to the firing line, but she was so excited. She was going to run down there and get that target right then, regardless of all the rest of the people shooting. But we always have families. And if at all the Appleseeds events, we always have women, children, families shooting. And I talked to Wheeler about this last week. And And I'd like to talk about it every week because that's one of the things that keeps me involved in the Appleseed program, and that is the look on the faces of the young men, young women, when their shooting skills improve and they hit that turning point where they realize that they can achieve, that they can succeed at the goals that they set, and you see that you're actually changing the life of a young man or a young woman right then and there on the firing line. And like I said, that's one of the things that keeps me in the program, is knowing that I'm changing lives just through rifle marksmanship and sharing American heritage, the story of the men and women of America who have sacrificed so much to ensure that the liberties, the rights of this nation are safeguarded, and that this nation continues to be a beacon of liberty for all those around the world. As much as you hear Americans who seem to be all too willing to talk down America and the American haters and about how terrible a nation we are, and yet the greatest percentage of the world, almost three-fourths of the world, would take any opportunity they had to go come straight to America and to live in this country. Now, why is that if it's such a terrible country? Why is that? And I'll tell you the answer is because it's not a terrible country. This is one of the most wonderful nations on the face of the earth. And it's our duty to ensure that it remains so, that we remain the beacon of liberty, that we defend our rights and our freedoms and our liberty. And when I say defend our rights, our freedoms and our liberty, I'm not talking about that we're going to get out and form ranks like the men and women did on April 19, 1775. We don't have to do that anymore. And why? Because those men and women were willing to make sacrifices then in order to safeguard our rights and our liberty. Those men and women then, those men who wrote the documents that formed this nation, wrote them so brilliantly that we don't have to defend our rights and liberties with our lives or with rifles anymore. We can do it with our voices, with our phones and our pens. And how much easier is that than knowing that in order to safeguard your liberties and rights, you're going to have to form ranks. You're going to have to become an instant criminal, a felon, punished by execution, that you're going to lose your home, your family, everything that you own in order just to have your rights and your liberty safeguarded. Wow. I mean, we really have it easy, don't we? Because of those brilliant men who opened that document, providing us with a way to guard our liberties, to safeguard our liberties, to safeguard our freedom without spilling a drop of blood. Now, that's brilliant. And it's just the opposite that's destroying us. It's ignorance, apathy, and laziness that's going to bring this country down. Fred, from Fred's M14 Stocks and from the man who helped begin the Appleseed program, directed me to a movie the other day called, I believe it was Reciprocity. I believe that's it. And it dealt with the de-evolution of Americans, way past the point of what is normal. And when I talk about de-evolution, what I'm talking about is at one time in America, if you wanted a shirt, you wove it, and then you sewed it, and then you wore it. If you wanted some butter on your bread, you milked the cow, you turn the butter, and then you put it on the bread that you baked in your oven. Now, I'm not advocating that. What I am advocating is for you to have the sense to be able to read and understand a document written 200 years ago that lines out the way that you can safely defend and maintain your rights and liberties. In this movie, the majority of the population of America couldn't read. They couldn't write. They depended on television and radio for all their information, and they were fed it in a pablum-like manner. And ignorance, complete and total ignorance, was the norm. When a guy showed up there from the past who could actually read and write, he was considered a genius. And I believe in some way, I didn't catch the beginning, but I believe he ended up as the president because he could read and write. That's the direction that we're headed in. And it sounds, when you listen to what I'm saying about the ignorance of Americans, it sounds like a very far-fetched thing. But how far-fetched is it? Because right now, the majority of the people that you would talk to in the street, if you began to describe the people or events of April 19, 1775, they would have no idea of what you're talking about. You could tell them anything. We were talking about that at the boot camp today. You could tell these people that General Gage gathered his men together on Lexington Green. He armed them with hatchets and machetes, and that they successfully battled the cruel and evil colonials until the British won their independence at Concord. And they would say, oh, that sounds great. I didn't realize that that's the way it happened. Because they don't realize, because they don't know. And if you don't know your history, if you don't know the history of who you are, then who are you? If your name is John Smith, and you were born from Mr. and Mrs. William Smith, who was the son of Mr. and Mr. Bernard Smith, then you can trace back who you are, where you came from, and what you did, and you have an idea of who you are. But if your name is John Smith, and you don't know anything about your parents or where you were born or what you did before yesterday, then who are you? What meaning does your life have? What do you use to anchor you in any decisions that you make in the future? What are you going to base those decisions that you make on? How are you going to form a plan to move forward in your life? And the answer is it's going to be very difficult because you have no basis to go by. The same way that Americans now go through their daily lives. They don't know their history. They don't know who they are. They don't know why they're here. They don't know why they have the nice homes, the big screen TVs, the nice cars. They don't understand how they got to this point. And as you've heard many times over, without knowing history, without understanding history, you are doomed to repeat it. We talked today about how governments can literally make their populations into criminals, how they can condition them to become criminals. And this seems to be what happened at the beginning of the American Revolution. You had colonists who were perfectly happy in the way that they were living and their lives and what was going on there. They hadn't just been transplanted to the colonies, to America, in 1775. In most cases, they had lived there for over 100 years. Many of the people had never seen their home of England. They were third and fourth generation Americans. And the British decided that they would begin placing laws and restrictions on these people And as they began to place more and more restrictions, more and more coercive laws and restrictions on these people, then they caused the people to think in a different way. And then they decided, because the people were thinking in a different way, that it would be best if they went out and they confiscated the arms and ammunition of these people, so that these people would no longer be a threat with their new way of thinking that the government had caused them to think. So now they're going to go out and they're going to confiscate weapons and ammunition. Now this caused the people to think, maybe we better hide these weapons and ammunition. Maybe we better do things now that will make us even greater criminals in order to hide and defend these weapons and ammunition, these the cannons and muskets that they had. So step by step, the government is conditioning the people to become rebellious, to become criminals, according to the repressive acts of the British government. We've seen this over and over. Every time it has happened, it seems to happen the same way. You have the same thing. In Texas here, we talk about the Texas Revolution. It began much the same way as the American Revolution. The colonists in Texas simply wanted their rights as Mexican citizens under the Mexican Constitution. When they were not allowed those rights, not given those rights, they began to think differently about the government, and they began to protest. And as they began to think differently about the government decided, now that these people are thinking differently about us, perhaps it's in our best interest to confiscate their arms and ammunition. So that's what they decided to do. Now, this caused the Texas colonists to think differently again. They said, perhaps we better hide our arms and ammunition. Perhaps we better defend them because of what the government is now doing. And this is, in fact, the same thing that caused the American Revolution. The Mexican government decided to come and raid, the same thing that they were doing at the American Revolution, the powder raids, the confiscation of powder and muskets and cannons. They decided to do the same thing in the Texas colonies, and when they did, it had the same results as in the American Revolution. It didn't serve their purpose. What it did was anger the population even more and cause them to think even differently about the government. So that is history. So if you study history, then you can begin to see how things work and how they don't work. And you can come to understand how it is that we came from who we were to the people that we are now. You know, how we got here. By an unbroken line of men and women who are willing to sacrifice everything in order to safeguard their liberties and their freedoms. All right. Any of the boot camp guys, any of you guys have anything else to say? Derek, did you want to chime in? No? I just did a presentation at the Austin Rifle Club with Derek. He's on the board there, and we spoke to them about becoming involved with the Alpha Seed program. And I have a good feeling about it. I believe that they will, which is give us another location in a urban area in Austin. And you know, there's a lot of jokes about Austin being a twirly city, a Grateful Dead city, hippies, Willie Nelson and such. But there's actually a lot of interest in rifle marksmanship in the Austin area. We've got a lot of our instructors are from the Austin area. A lot of our members here, a lot of the Texas crew is from the Austin area. So we're really looking forward to having a location right there in the city, because otherwise everybody loves coming out to Davila, but at the same time, you know, when you come out here, You've got to either get here early, like Chris did, and get the Taj Mahal, one of the Taj Mahals, or you have to set up your tent or sleep in your truck. Alex, one of the guys from Fort Hood, he just came out and laid on the ground and pulled a blanket over him. And I guess it was cold enough that the ants didn't carry him away. Yeah, we have Chris had to mention that some of the guys actually bring their Taj Mahals with them. We had a couple of guys from Lockhart that pulled in. And I guess with it being the end of deer hunting season, they must have just gone and picked up their deer stand. And instead of taking it off the trailer, since they were headed here anyway, they just left it on the trailer, pulled in. And, heck, they just opened up that deer stand, and it's like a little mini hotel in there now. They're really well equipped. I'm still hoping to get Dinky or one of the crew there to call in so that we can actually talk to the folks at the Ramsar North Carolina boot camp. But she just wrote on the chat that that none of those guys can get a signal out there. Now, the Ramsar boot camp is in Ramsar, North Carolina. It's at the home range, and absolutely beautiful there. I mean, the range is absolutely gorgeous. The first couple of hundred meters of the range falls away from shooting point, and then the next several hundred meters rises from the central area. So it's a wonderful shooting range. It actually reminds me of being in the hill country around Austin, all the limestone and the oaks and stuff there. It's a very beautiful location. And right now, JB is running the Junior Birdman program. His master instructor with the Appleseed program is running the boot camp there in Ramsar, North Carolina. And JB is a good friend of mine. He's actually my mentor. Whenever I went to my first boot camp there at Ramsar, he was the instructor there, and just a great instructor. And a very good friend of mine now. He's an airline pilot. A lot of the Appleseed folks, for whatever reason, I'm still waiting to make the connection. A lot of the best instructors that we have are pilots in one form or another. Either they're part of the airline industry or they're private pilots. I don't think I've had an Appleseed event yet that didn't have at least one pilot in it. And then most of the time, there'll be a whole group of pilots because they'll all pull over to one side and start doing their pilot talking. Helicopter pilots, jets, single engine, multi engine, amphibious aircraft, you name it. And they're all, there's always some type of pilot at the Appleseed program. And like I said, I'm still looking for the connection. I haven't found it yet. But, that hasn't stopped me from making sure that every time I get on an airline, every time I get on an aircraft, that I stop right there at the entrance way and I hand two copies of the Appleseed packets to the pilots. Make sure I do it in a nice, slow fashion, speaking very slowly and clearly when I do it. I don't yell anything in a Middle Eastern-sounding voice. I just hand them the Appleseed information, and I'm still waiting to see. I'd like to see how many people have taken me up on it. And part of the Appleseed program, part of the ideology behind it, of course, is linked directly back to Johnny Appleseed, the fellow who planted the apples all along everywhere he went. And part of the Appleseed Creed is based directly on the actions of Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed planted the apples all along his path. And he, what he didn't, he planted the apples, but he didn't sit there and nurture them and water them and watch them to make sure that they grew into tall trees and protect them, because he didn't have time for that. The scope of his job was much greater than could be achieved in that fashion. Instead, what he did was he planted as many apple seeds as he could. And, of course, some of them did fall on barren ground. Some of them didn't germinate. But a lot of them did. And he didn't do it for himself. He didn't do it so that he could have apple seeds, so that he could have apple trees or apples. He did it so that there would be apple trees and apples for his posterity. That's the same way that the Appleseed program operates. That's the same way that we put the message out. And part of the creed will say that I promise to spread the message, to do my best to spread the message, knowing full well that I may never know the results of my work, that I may never know the results of the seeds that I've planted. Because the importance is in spreading the message. We just got another one of the guys, one of the boot camp guys, walk up. He said he didn't want to talk, but I'm going to get Chris to hand the phone anyway and make him talk, because I think it's important. This is Doc. I don't remember. Do you have a forum name? Glut Medic. Okay. Doc is a medic with the United States Army, and he's here at the boot camp. Now, he's feeling a little bit under the weather today, but in true Appleseed fashion, he went ahead and he went ahead and shot. Even though he wasn't feeling that well, even though his arm is broken, he still got out there and shot. He did a great job. Yeah, a little bit of difficulty getting the sling around his cast. But I'm telling you, Appleseed folks don't let stuff like that, get in between them and perfecting their rough musicianship skills. Doc, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about how things have been going and how you feel about the boot camp? Is it what you thought it was going to be?
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate you very much about the program. Oh, it's absolutely everything I was supposed to be in. I think there's 400 people who attended these types of events who had had military training that's just as far out of distance as their experience. I certainly bear that out. For people looking to get this training, and I do want to thank the board.
All right. Did you hear that? You guys are on the chat. could you hear that just then? I tell you what I'm going to do. Doc, I'm going to give you my phone, and I want you to repeat what you just said. I just asked Doc to let me know what he thought about it, if the program was what he thought it was going to be, and he gave a great answer, but I'm not sure that the phone was getting through, so I'm going to hand you my phone. Here you go, Doc. I just want to say thanks again for having us out here, for donating your time, the use of your land, and just putting on a fantastic program. Yes, this is everything I thought it would be, and then some. It's certainly, as I've read before from people who've had military training, it goes way above and beyond what we were taught in our basic and advanced training. And it absolutely, not only is it a skill that I believe every American should have, but everyone who may even be considering military service should come out and participate in a program like this, so they have the tools they need. Possibly to save their lives one day, and those are their buddies.
Yeah, I have to agree with Grunt Medic. I'm prior service myself and did quite a bit of time in the area of operations that he's been into. And every chance that I get and I run across a service member, whether what branch it is or not, you know, they're all patriots at heart anyway, or they wouldn't be wearing that uniform. And it's a skill that one day may actually save their life, but all in all, it's a skill that any American needs to have, you know. But Scout, we really appreciate having us on tonight. And boy, oh boy, if we could do this all over again and rewind it 3 days to start over again, I'm fired up to do it again.
All right. Well, I hope that I hope I don't do something that needs medical attention tomorrow, because Doc said he didn't want to talk when he came walking up. And so we made him talk anyway. And then that phone didn't work. So I gave him my phone, and then I had to go do something. So I just gave him the, continue on without me hand signal and walked off. And I know that made him really happy. But Doc is a great asset to the program. And like he mentioned, we've had lots of military members that have come through the program, and they've all been very satisfied with it. I myself am a veteran, and I'll tell you right off the bat right now that I think I was in the armed services for about 3.5 years before I actually got any meaningful rifle marksmanship instruction. And I'm not trying to badmouth the military, because they've got their job to do. They've got a lot of people that they have to get through it, a lot of logistics that they have to consider. And that all being said, that's the reason that we offer the program free to active duty, Guard and Reserve, military, and their families. So anybody that's listening, be sure and invite any of the folks you know in the armed services, because we'll always take them on the line. And they're always an asset to the program. I already told Doc earlier today that I'm going to hit him up to help me put together some first aid kits for each of the guys here at the boot camp, so that they can take some with them, so they have a individual first aid kit for each one of them when they leave here that they can carry in their pockets. But I always carry an aid bag with me, because I always carry a rifle, and I feel that that along with the responsibility of carrying a rifle, you should have the equal responsibility of carrying a medical kit, where you can work on the other end of the spectrum. All right. We're coming to the end of the show, and I want to thank all the guys from the boot camp, not just for coming up here and participating in the show, but for taking a week out of their life and devoting it to 8 long days out in the sun, the wind, the cold, the rain, in order to improve their marksmanship skills, to learn about American history, but most of all, because almost every one of the guys here is devoted toward safeguarding the liberties and the freedoms that our forefathers left us. They're all going to come on, they're all going to continue on to become instructors, and each one of them is going to head off out in their own separate directions in order to help spread the message, the Appleseed message. And for that, I owe them an eternal debt of gratitude. Okay, and before they leave, they're all packing up to leave now. Before they leave and head back to their stinky, smelly rendezvous base camp that they have out there, they're going to give 3 huzzahs, which is the traditional thing we give whenever one of us achieves the rifleman's patch. So here we go. Ready? And
huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
Thanks, guys. Now, that's what you hear whenever you get the rifleman's patch. That's what you hear. Besides the applause from your fellow riflemen, from the reading of Lord Percy's remark that there are men among them who know very well what they are about, and that's one of the quotes that we read whenever we give someone the rifleman's patch, because I got something, somebody trying to call or something here. Anyway, I would like to thank everyone for calling in tonight, and we will see you this next Tuesday night, 7 Central. God bless you all.
Thank you.